Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me again I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGaffigan.
Hamid Salah Haroon Al-Taham.
Sasha Rackett.
Zolf Smith.
And I am your GM, and I'm alive. We're all alive.
Yay!
Which is good.
Hello. I'm not.
I'm made of asbestos.
Yes, so first things first. Thank you to everyone for bearing with us. This is our first recording since everything went a bit wrong, and we're back in our old studio, which looks a lot like James's flat.
Funny that.
We recreated it.
Yeah, very faithfully.
Papier-mâché and
broken
the skulls
dreams
of our ancestors. Yeah.
So what are your donations have gone to? I mean, like, plaster and breeze blocks would have been, like, easier, but...
No. Skulls.
Yeah.
So many skulls. Oh,
got a lot of enemies. Well, I had a lot of enemies. It's fine.
In all seriousness, thanks to everyone who offered help and support. Like we've already said on social media and so on, thankfully, it's all fine. We're just... amazingly grateful that people decided to try and help out, but honestly, we're okay, so thank you a lot. We really appreciate the support and for bearing with us while we were getting things back on track. Now, it's been a while for us, but I think we're going to need a recap for everyone, given how things have been. So, last things that happened. The party were on their way out into the continent and briefly stopped over at Dover. Dover's now flooding. There was a little bit of a period where Zolf was kind of arrested, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know...
had a surprisingly nice time.
I but had a lovely time.
New discovered, passion.
Discovered new passion, it's always good. And the single female lawyer came to the rescue with the help of basically everyone else.
with the help of Sasha and
it was a team effort.
I agree.
I think mostly my staying out of the way and getting excited by seafood. That was Sasha's input.
And after that, what ended up happening was Zolf, Hamid, and Sasha took a little bit of a...
We made a wager.
A little bit of a... Yeah, you made a bet.
Swim. We had a swim. It was lovely. Mm. In the ocean.
And you see
that? Is this what it's like all the time?
Bit of a paddle.
drowning.
So it was a race. It was a race to the fanciest hotel in Calais. Mm. And with most of the party departing on a boat to teach Zolf a lesson from his superiors, which went well, but not quite as well as... Bertie, who, bribing his way onto the tunnel despite the fact that it should have been closed, rerouting an enormous amount of dangerous power through a train, potentially hurting people.
Using a combination of brute force and money.
Briefly getting lost and managing to dig his way through slime at the other end. The race was still on, but I think that Hamid just about managed to pip you to it in the end.
Well, no, because Hamid then paused to allow Bertie to go first.
Yeah.
So say the bet was between Zolf and Bertie, not between Zolf and Hamid.
It was our party.
Was it?
Yeah.
This group versus you group. But
the important thing is that you won either way.
Good.
Yeah. So,
in character, winning is definitely the most important thing, so that's fine. Karen.
We will pick up, after a little bit of time has passed, we will say that Bertie successfully managed to book into an ambassadorial suite at C, which was the incredibly, incredibly so sharp it'll cut you hip and happening sort of minimalist hotel. It was all very, very chic. And you are in your sort of suite, having had a little bit of time to decompress and not want to kill every single person in the world with Hamid there. Meanwhile, Zolf and Sasha, for the sake of speed, we'll say that you have managed to hitchhike your way to Calais, having...
I had a great time. I saw a
horse. Lovely journey.
And there was a whole tree. It was great. And there was a cow, which I thought was a horse, but different. But it was a cow. Because they're different, you can tell because of the udders. I found out that horses do not have udders. That was a long story.
So we'll pick up with... Well, it's been absolutely lovely days, but I think I'm going to go off and we're going to have to get ourselves a new bit of a car. So have a lovely time. Hope it's good. Hope everything's great. And I've got some winnings to pay.
Yeah, well, I hope you...
Thanks. It was great. It was well good. It was so fast. And then when it exploded, that was pretty cool as well.
It was both hit and happening, wasn't it?
Yeah, well happening.
She reaches out and tries to sort of fist bump and do something cool, but doesn't really know what to do. So just gives you a hug in the end.
Sasha tries to grab her hand and sort of push it away.
Like paper, scissors, stone.
It's all very awkward for everyone involved.
What she tries to do, she begins to assume it's a kind of weak feint and like goes in to kind of almost like mock stab her in the back, and then that gets pulled into a hug. And she's there holding the dagger behind the back of this lovely old woman, very confused.
Oh, you're a good hugger. Oh, and then finally over to...
It's just me holding my trigger like, oh, murder!
Yeah. You know, someone Grand begins to come at Sasha. She's going to try and stab him in the back.
Yeah, good luck with the Grand Tour.
She just comes over, with no ado, gives Zolf a big old smack on the lips. Bye! And just trots off, doesn't even look back. Trotting off into
the All right, Zolf. All right, in there, are we? Ooh, right. Yeah. You can invite her up to your hotel room. Yeah.
Should we go see where... I've forgotten their names, I'm so shocked.
Hamid and Bertie. Right, you were quite right. It's quite the effect that had on you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
we'll say that this conversation's happening as you start heading into Calais.
All right. What room is the best one? Because we know. Is there a loud man there? Because we probably know him.
Falcons all over the place.
You know, angry looking, shouty.
So, like I said, skipping ahead to the foyer, the person behind the desk wearing a suit that has no buttons. No collar. It's just
a
effectively. It's like an incredibly stylish onesie. It's clear that this hotel thinks it's extremely, extremely hip and happening.
Everyone dressed like they would be in the island.
Sort of. Yeah. Very minimalist. It's just black and white. That's it.
How can he hide any daggers at all in that outfit?
I don't think he's supposed to.
He sort of looks down.
Sasha is baffled because that's what she thought the function of clothes was.
Hamid will have told the front desk to expect.
We will cut to the interior of the room, at which point a bell starts ringing, and there is a rattle from the speaking tube beside the front door.
Bertie is wearing a dressing gown that is so thick that he looks a little bit like a polar bear. He's drinking a mint julep.
Is everything back as it should be?
Everything is back as it should be.
Hamid is in a classic silk smoking jacket and rather warm pyjamas, drinking an Irish hot chocolate.
Nice.
Brutor is wearing a Noel Coward style smoking jacket. He's got a little harness put up so over his head so that it looks a little bit like a muzzle, but it's just got like a long cigarette holder with a cigarette in the end.
Brutor's lounging. He's having a good time.
I answer the speaking horn.
There are some people here in the lobby. We believe that they are your guests. Would you like us to send them
up? All right, Hamid!
Thank you so much, Francois. Please send them up directly.
You're very welcome, sir.
So Francois behind the desk. Gestures for you. There's an elevator or a lift, depending on where you're from, which is an unusual one, not much of them in London. Actually, having walked through Calais, both Zolf and Sasha, it's quite advanced. Like, there's a lot of flashy technology. It's very much more cosmopolitan than London was, much more busy, bustling.
Calais is more cosmopolitan than London?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right.
Indeed. And it's not more crowded, but it is certainly more cosmopolitan. And so, yeah, you presumably head up to the suite?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes. We do. Out of character, yes, we do. It's great.
Of course we do, Alex, my dear.
Okay. So you head up in the lift and, ding, you open to your own floor. There is a front door immediately opposite the lift. You'd still have to knock to get in and so on.
Can I pay for all of this?
I don't know.
Fair enough. It's pretty grand. All right, thank you very much. To the bellhop.
Sure. Bing! Door goes down. You're now just in a tiny porch together.
Right.
Welcome. Come on in. Put your feet up.
Ah, Mr. Smith, Ms. Rackett, a very creditable second place.
I was going to say, I can tell by the look on your face that you won.
Yes! And my presence here.
Right. Well done.
Does that mean that he doesn't have to shut up for like a week?
No, quite the opposite, young lady. I shall be narrating my victory at great length. So first I won, and then after that I celebrated it by talking about how I won. Now first, I won.
How did you
then,
win?
What?
How was the train?
Is
there like proper lightning and stuff?
It was a triumph of modern British engineering. I will say that. It is a firm vindication for the young men in the boiler suits. Well,
so it worked exactly like you'd expect a train in England to work.
Precisely so. Yeah. Well, I was here first, so it must have worked better than a barely held together collection of sticks just tossed into the sea and powered by
prayer. Oh no, it was well good. I was climbing up to the mast, I was holding on, it was well fun. It wasn't so good when I was off the boat, that was less fun. But like on the boat it was well good. I was balancing on stuff, jumping around, it was well good.
I have to say, on balance, all three of you were significantly more alive than I had anticipated.
Yes, we are. So I probably call that a victory all round. Now, of course, your winnings will be factored into any future pay you may have, because of course...
Credit.
No, not credit.
No, it'd be credit for you, wouldn't it?
It's a bonus.
Or pay...
given the fact that I have 6 gold left after having to pay to have my...
Well, if you'd taken my financial advice, Mr. Smith, then you would have taken what was essentially an interest-free loan.
Yes, but instead of being in debt...
I don't know why I should be held responsible and made to suffer for the inadequate credit provisions that others may make.
I could just fire you.
With back pay, you'll be hearing from my lawyers.
I've already met your lawyers. They're far more interested in trying to pay your back pay.
They are terrifying. And could be watching us right now, so I'd watch what you say.
I'll lend you the money, Zolf.
You will be paid the winnings as part of your bonus. It will be done in one lump sum when we next get a payday. If that means that I have to forego any pay myself, that is the case. But I currently do not have the money for the wager.
Well, I reserve the right to withdraw my labour, as is my right, at any given time.
Sure.
I feel these arrangements are not being fulfilled.
In the future, make sure that the person who you're making a wager with is good for it. I'm aware you have a voice. Lots of it. So you were very well to take that away.
This is actually working out pretty well, Hammond, isn't it? Look, he hasn't spoken for a whole 10 seconds.
So things are going well. Presumably, Zolf and Sasha will need a bit of time to...
I'm going to order an old-fashioned...
I've ordered dinner, so it should be up in an hour or two, and I think we can head on to Paris tomorrow morning, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, from the way this place is built, I'm expecting some kind of self-brushing shower thing going on. Lots of... You know, because it's quite fancy outside. No? No one's going
to... I'm not sure that's how showers work.
All right.
Water tends to be involved. I believe that was your specialist area.
It's one of those rather strange bathrooms where the whole room is just the shower.
What, a sauna?
No.
Wait, is there a flood?
No. You'll go in there, you'll see what I mean.
Is it like a sewer?
So we'll skip ahead.
It's almost the exact opposite.
I look up from the cocktail menu. Okay, all right.
We will skip ahead after everyone has sampled the wet room, I believe was the word we were going for there.
Certainly the impression I was trying to convey.
And the spirits cabinet.
Like a normal bathroom where they forgot to build a bath.
There is a mini bar, like an actually refrigerated mini bar that's available.
Whoa, refrigeration?
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
That's special.
I'll go ahead and mention it, that Hamid, you recognise the magical techno babble behind it.
We put this ice elemental in a box and then we put it underneath the cupboard.
Pretty much. You know what, every time you open it there's a little bit of a disgruntled sigh. That's what it sounds like every time you open it. But yeah,
like a normal fridge then?
it's like I said, it's quite an austere room, but not bad for it. It's just a bit... It's trying very hard to be cool.
Minimalist.
Yeah, minimalist. But we'll skip ahead.
Putting my hand in, taking out. Putting my hand in, taking out. Oh, I am it. It's cold. Hand in, hand out. It's well cold. Hand in, hand out. Have another swig of the booze.
Ooh, Drambuie. This place is classy.
We will skip to...
All night this goes on.
We will skip to the following morning. You've all played with all of the...
This place is classy.
You've played with all of the various knickknacks. Each of your respective rooms, there were 4 rooms, each leaning onto this central lounge area. It's very, very flashy. Very, very flashy. And whilst they may not be a self-cleaning shower, there are a load of automated items in there. The lamps are not gas or anything, it's electricity and with switches and so on. But yeah, we will say that you are now convening after a hearty breakfast, no doubt ordered via room service, because who goes downstairs, am I right?
Plebs, that's who.
Plebs and gravity.
And water if poured from the top of some stairs.
And slinkies.
It's true. Basically, Vance, that wants to go now.
Sorry, I've answered your question quite comprehensively.
Sorry, is Sasha being sneaky somewhere? I feel like that's what we're discussing. Yeah, we're very nonetheless, you've just had breakfast and you are fresh and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for another day.
So what's the best way to get to Paris? Is there a train or should we just get a carriage?
Well, good question. I think we need to...
I think we should get a flying machine. I've seen some of them going past in the windows. I think we should totally get a flying machine. It'll be faster. It'll be cooler.
They're much better suited for longer trips. I mean, it's only a...
Also, I'm just going
to... I want to go record.
She's going to put down the front page of the newspaper with, terrible crash, 7 dead. Maybe not.
Genuine question. Did you order in a newspaper?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, who read it first?
Well, I'm assuming me.
Give me a perception roll.
Is it in French?
I speak French.
Oh.
Okay. I don't speak French.
No.
No, I will order a copy of The Times, as well as the copy of that French one that I can't remember the name of.
Le Monde.
Le Monde.
There, that's it. Right, so perception, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's an 8.
An 8. Yeah, French page news. Disaster in the tunnel. There's been already an inquiry at the British end for why the tunnel was running when he had received express orders in order to shut it down. Meritocratic investigations are in order. One carriage of people is still trapped in the middle. Teams are currently being sent down. However, due to the extent of the flooding, they're worried about the safety of the people in the tunnel, having been in there that long. The entire station at the French end has been temporarily shut down. There are trains leaving in other directions, but all of the Channel Tunnel area is being closed down. And there are reports of power surges and all kinds of disasterness.
So who wrote it? Is it a report we know?
It's no one that you're aware of. They're a high-up name, but that's about it. It's
Jean Reporter.
Well, this is in the Times.
So John Reporter.
John Reporter.
Is there an air crash story that I can open to?
There is...
We should probably get an airship from Paris to Prague, I think. I think that would be the best way to cross the mountains.
I agree. I think that'd be the best way to... What I'm like, yeah. Or I'd quite like to see the mountains like close up. What do mountains look like right for
well,
the place?
Imagine a molehill if you were really close to it.
What does a molehill look like?
You must see moles, they're underground.
Imagine a small pile of
not
dirt. Imagine a small pile of dirt.
Right.
Then imagine a mole made that.
Right,
that's a molehill. Now imagine you were really close to it,
right.
And that's a mountain.
Oh,
and that
cool.
is basically geography.
Yeah.
Is there a giant mole in there?
And there's some colouring in, of course.
Yeah. Right, so, Bertie, apart from endangering most of the tunnel...
I think people these days are too coddled,
there
you know?
There are still some people down there.
Say again?
There are still some people, there's a whole carriage of people down there.
They're camping.
They might drown.
It's character building. Then they can learn to swim.
I will add there was no mention of Bertie in the article. Some passengers attempted to make their way unaided and they repeated safety warnings that no one should ever leave trains, blah, 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 blah.
I feel like with my whiz score, I can work out
that's probably... Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you that one.
Especially
for free.
When it was explicitly stated he's using the Channel Tunnel.
Bertie seizes the paper, reads the article. Didn't even get a name mentioned. That's ridiculous.
Right. Look, at least when we did it, we only endangered our own lives, not those of... other people.
I endangered no lives other than my own worth saving.
That is probably more troublesome a remark than if you just said, yes, I did.
History will be my judge.
Still, yep. Yeah, well.
As you gesture with the paper, a small little fold-out lands on the ground, which has, yes, a supplement, which has Bertie's shining face on it.
Ooh, look, the style section.
It is... posing in, it's outside the sort of burning remains of Edison, so it's an older photo a little bit, but it's very, very flattering. It's sort of big, burly, alpha male stands outside a burning building.
What is that?
This is what history looks like, Mr. Smith.
Bertie, open it and read it.
It's entitled Huffing and Puffing with Bertie McGuffingham.
Huffing and puffing with Bertie McGuffin. I like how this starts. I think I'm going to enjoy reading this.
Who wrote it?
Where I would assume...
It is written by Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, you see. Now you see, Mr. Smith, the benefits of taking a firm hand with the press.
Remember, of course, I
then
did...
moving that firm hand further down.
Thank you. Yes, Bertie.
Yes, that's all right.
Then there's a certain amount of...
Yes, huffing and puffing.
Might we read the article?
Yes. Also, remember... I did say that if he says anything that would jeopardise our thing, I will drown him in a bucket, and I am going to keep him to that.
Very well.
So it's a 2-page spread, and it's talking about...
Only 2 pages.
An exclusive...
What a supplement. A folded bit of paper.
It is an exclusive with the leader of the London Ragers. It's explicit in that. It starts with sort of how heroic they were and something, but who are the people behind the party? Mm. It has very little to do with any other people. Hamid's briefly mentioned, as is Sasha, but Sasha's not even mentioned by name. It is just there is a mysterious female figure, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't
get
more than
that. All right, look, that's me. I'm a mysterious female figure. I'm like a question mark. However, in a body.
You're like an enigma.
Yeah.
Wrapped in...
mystery.
Studded
leather
armor. Or wearing.
Yes.
And fog.
Flowing down the stairs like a midnight slinky.
Like dark grey velvet.
Yeah.
Fits into shadows.
He's really captured your essence by not describing you at all.
It's great.
What is interesting is that when you're reading it, there's a very certain slant towards almost caricature. I don't mean negative caricature, it's just Hamid is very much billionaire playboy almost, and Sasha is the mysterious female figure who's fixing situation, blah, 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 and Zolf is the... cantankerous but lovable muscle is, I think, you referred to, and it's very playing up sort of stereotypes.
See that, Mr. Smith? You're lovable, you know, lovable.
But it goes on to say,
I found that about myself. Actually,
it's very clearly implying that the tete-a-tete led to more physical things. It's not crass or anything like that, but it is very explicitly going on to talk about Bertie McGuffingham. Who is the man? Who is he? And it paints him as the biggest pussycat ever. He's an adorable, sort of really, really, really caring, really, really loving man. Some people would say that it gets in the way of his work.
It says that you take a soft touch to most situations. You've got a very delicate hand in steering difficult and awkward stuff.
Definitely not with regards to tables. Yeah.
Can everyone give me a wisdom, just a flat wisdom check?
3 minus 1 is 2.
16.
Okay. Yep.
14.
11.
Okay, so, Bertie, as far as you're concerned, it's a humanising article.
Yeah.
And what it really does
That's
is...
That's how Bertie was going to interpret it anyway.
Yeah, it basically is just saying that not only are you a hero, you're a good man. Mm. You're a kind man. Mm. A gentleman.
A nurturing man. If I could nuzzle and suckle a forest thorn while going, I would. I would. I can't all the time.
Didn't you try and suckle... Brutal back in the Dover hotel that time when I walked in as you were preparing the legal case.
Looked from side to side. No.
But... Sasha, meanwhile, you reading it are... There's definitely more at play here. Having had less experience with like the reporter side of things and
My
that kind of satire.
Puns.
Basically, it's clear that he's not getting the whole thing and you're going, it's not openly critical, but it's certainly, there's more to it than that. For Hamid and Zolf, it's a bit clearer for you guys that as it goes on, it's clear that it's slowly almost becoming a piece of satire. And it's also implying that he's dim. And that what he's trying to disguise by being kind is that he's thick as two planks. But it is, it's not overtly critical. It's not saying he's a terrible, terrible person. But it is just a case of, and the reason that you could say he's huffing and puffing is, maybe it's to cool his brains. Maybe it's because he cares a lot. Who knows? But at least he's there. And it's actually almost demeaning.
It says it sees you, that you see the best in all situations, even when they're slamming you repeatedly over the head with a hammer. That's nice, isn't it?
Hmm.
I really hope this doesn't affect our business.
And I'll take a break there and come back in a couple of minutes.
Right. Hello, adventurers. Zolf Smith here, Cleric of Poseidon and leader of the London Rangers. Are you stuck in a rut? Bored of the same old routine? Wondering if there isn't something more to life? Well, guess what? There is! Become an adventurer with Rusty Quill today and live the life you always dreamed of. Adventure. Excitement. Adventure. Treasure. Adventure. Travel. Oh, for God's sake. Enough! No, I'm not reading anymore. It's complete rubbish. Now, look here. I don't care how much you're paying. This is absolute twaddle. I wouldn't use this script to patch a leak. Being an adventurer isn't like that. It's awful. It's wet, tiring, smelly, thankless, dangerous, and no one in their right mind want to do it. People die. Sometimes more than once. Fine. Look, this Rusty Quill thing, whatever it is getting bigger, and they're looking for more staff. Apparently there was a goblin attack or something, I don't know. If you're interested, then drop them an email to mail@rustyquill and let them know. Be sure to mention your skills and provide links to any work online you've done. I wouldn't expect much in the way of loot, but for what it's worth, they do seem like a decent lot. Mad as Hatter's mine, but none of them seem worth a drowning. So yeah, to summarise, help, mail@rustyquill, Mad as Hatter's. Right, we're done it. Get this thing out of my face.
And welcome back. Now, there is one other thing, which is just after the two-page cover. There is what appears to be a potentially slightly illicit image, as in something that was taken probably without Bertie being aware that it was being taken, anything like that. And it's Bertie down in his undergarments, almost sort of pouting, and he's very, very... What's the word? It's sort of like there's a feather boa involved. There's nothing explicit about it, but nonetheless, it's quite...
Isn't it candid, in an unassuming position?
It's quite candid, unassuming, and almost certainly a reason everyone will be laughing, because there's some armour there, but not all of it.
So is it the kind of thing that suggests, I mean, not just homosexual activity, which Bertie would be fine with, is it more of a sort of, this is a candid moment of too much romantic softness?
What I'd say about the picture is it's very, very clear that in the situation that the photo's been taken, Bertie McGoffingham is not in charge. He's very, very clearly... It looks like Bertie, whoever took that photo, had Bertie wrapped around their little finger.
It's almost as if you won the bet. He's proper quiet.
It is, I think, Wald's done my job for him. Might not have to drown him after all. Anyway, back to business, I think.
Having seen this picture, this is on the page over, so we've read the glowing article.
You read the glowing article and were like, oh, that was great, one more turn. Ah.
And Bertie goes very quiet.
I think we'll just put that away. I'll take the supplement away, put it inside the paper, fold the paper up, throw it out the window.
There was that bit about the wonderful air machine to read.
That was... it crashed.
You could see all the guts of it. All the, like, cogs and stuff.
We could probably visit a hangar at some point when we've got some time.
I have to say, Bertie, Wild does have something of a reputation for skewering the upper classes. It seems that he's
certainly
willing
not the way
to take,
around that I recalled that situation.
Willing to take that into his personal life as well as his playwriting. Perhaps it would be better to...
murder Oscar Wilde!
No, I don't think...
I will slice him open and bathe in his blood!
That seems to me like a slight...
I will show him the importance of being honest.
Overreaction.
As well as the fact that that will still be a big old crime, and you will be arrested for murdering him. And I, for one, will not lie about the fact that you just shouted you're going to split him open and bathe in his blood.
Well, maybe he went for a little paddle, and maybe he fell over.
The best revenge, Bertie, would be to accomplish great feats and show him how wrong he was.
I'm actually warming to this Mr. Wilde now, am I?
I will bide my time. I am watching you, Mr. Wilde.
Really? Where is he?
Anyway,
this is great. He just keeps shutting up. It's fantastic.
Yes. Are there
any tables nearby?
There are.
Bertie smashes the table with his fist really hard.
I'm going to have to get you to do the roll.
That's fine. He's unarmed. He's very cross. 19.
For once! For once, you successfully destroy a table.
Bare fists.
There's a clutching table.
The table.
This minimalist style just isn't as sturdy as the old-fashioned ones you get in Britain.
Anyway. You've got one-of-a-kind stuff made of sort of exquisite fractal kind of black and white. Like it's bare and it's stark.
One of the advantages of fractal tables is if you smash it to bits, all of the bits look like a table.
So, all that fun and games aside, next steps.
We could get a train to Paris and then we could tie Oscar Wilde to the rails before we leave the station.
I think actually, genuine question, are we all okay at the moment? You seem to be harbouring a lot of even more rage than usual. And you two almost drowned. I was just wondering if you were doing
okay. No, it was great. It was is that what sea crossings are always like?
I would hope not.
Next time we do a sea voyage, I'd rather something a little larger, a proper ship, perhaps.
I wasn't that keen on like the bit where I was underwater, but the stuff where I was running around on the mast and like climbing up, it was well good. It was like being underground, but different.
Let's get on the train to Paris.
Yes, I think we probably should just take it nice and steady.
So you've already settled up. You head out of the hotel through Calais. There are still some people chuckling when they see Bertie. A couple of them will refer to this pullout article, sort of compare it to Bertie, and then show it to other people and chuckle. It's not quite the sort of scene it was yesterday. Obviously, sort of these kind of fad things tend to burn out quite quickly.
I would say the French seem to have very little in the way of tact. Mm.
That said, walking through, as you get closer to the station, especially for Sasha, because your only reference is London, it's definitely technologically a lot more advanced. There's plenty of these apparently sort of mechanical men walking around. They're not a patch on the simulacrum. Like, it'd be the equivalent of seeing, you know, the Colossus of Rhodes versus a normal statue when you're talking about the scale of workmanship involved. But certainly, they're sort of walking around carrying things.
Probably clockwork.
Yeah,
they appear to be. Whereas the simulacrum was, you know,
it was an enormous, elaborate, gold-edged
person,
like, you know,
adamantine. Yeah. But the there's like automated carriages, things like that. So heading to the station, you see an entire section of it is blocked off with tape. It looks like there's an expeditionary force who are preparing to go down into the tunnel. Loads of gear and equipment, hard hats with lights, the whole nine yards. They even appear to have in tow a couple of earth elementals who are sort of being sort of commandeered by like engineering mage type people. It looks like a major Hi. Operation.
What did it do?
It wouldn't sell me a ticket.
Right.
And that doesn't explain anything.
So we'll skip ahead and say that you managed to get on the line heading in towards Paris.
Yep.
And it's very familiar. It's very similar to the one that you took in order to get to Dover in the first place. Basic carriages, Sasha, the same setup for food and so
Sasha
on.
Sasha thinks that she's totally winning this and knows which buttons to press for food.
Oh, yeah, she does.
But they might be slightly different arrangements. At one point, might end up with bits of water, like pouring out of the side of a thing into what should be a jug, but she's put a plate there, and then the roast dinner is everywhere. And then there like, is the a cleaner brief turns up, but they've not opened the door behind her head, and it gets knocked out.
There's
down
a brief period where you are trying to drink bouillabaisse from a glass, let's say. Things like that.
Bouillabaisse?
It's fish stew.
Oh, sounds nice.
It is. But
and Sasha does love for seafood. So.
Yeah, and it's like, water tastes really weird in France. But I like it.
Is it just like a dispenser thing?
It's the same as before. So there's a table, there is a pentagram in the middle, and you're able to push various symbols around the table and various dishes appear with various food in them. And there are glasses and so on in a cabinet that you can use.
Bertie presses a button. Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
You get more bouillabaisse.
Another glass of water, young lady.
It's quite filling, this water.
Now we've got a bit of time. What are we actually doing in France?
I think there's three things, really. I know, Sasha, you wanted to look for your friend who might be in Paris. I remember the curator of the British Museum gave us a package to deliver. But of course, the notebook that was really the key to everything mentioned a few cafes and time spent with a man named Francois.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we were going to try and track down that lead and see if we could work out anything about the writer of the notebook, who probably also built the simulacrum.
Yeah.
So those three things, basically.
I suppose we should probably start off with the British Museum.
That should be quite quick. I think. Yeah.
The only one we know where they are.
Yeah.
Like I don't know where they'll be keeping Brock, and like they kept us underground for like 20 years, so I don't.
Is there anything we need to know about this guy that might come up and might put people in?
He's a good guy, and I thought he was dead. Maybe I still don't really trust that he isn't. He just disappeared one day.
Right, so you don't know who he might be with, or?
Well, apart from one of those creepy guys in the hats, not hats,
the
whole
those
hoods.
The yeah.
Like, they, yeah. And I've never seen one of them before. I don't know what Barrett's getting himself into. If he's trying to expand out from London, first place I'd look would be underground catacombs and things like that. That's where he's safest.
Well, as we know,
feels at home.
We are quite good at killing things from the Parisian catacombs, so.
Right, yeah, sounds great. Do you think the guys in the hoods were from the catacombs? What do they have down there?
I don't know, but they definitely gave off a spooky vibe. We'll have to be careful then. But yeah, if we go to the outward matters first.
As that happens, we'll say that you start coming in sight of Paris. The train that you're on, it's clearly not just been made with speed in mind. They've built it to raise up slowly over a period so that as you're coming into Paris, you're coming from a raised position, so you get sort of a vista over Paris very before it comes pretty. Back down. There's a certain element of presentation which is maybe missing in London that's present in Paris. The sense of...
That's very true.
In the sense that, like, London tries to be grand, but ultimately it defers to functionality, and that's kind of the way it goes, certainly here, whereas in...
Paris was built on purpose.
Your impressions of France, certainly Sasha, who's never been here before, it's got something extra that you never realised was really missing.
Paris never suffered any of the disasters that London did.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tesla.
And as it's powering along, you can see the vista. The first thing that we'll notice is, I'll do this from Sasha's perspective because she's the one who's never seen it. The rest of you will have seen it maybe once or twice, or in Hamid's case, quite a few times. The first thing that you'll notice is the Eiffel Tower. However, it's not the Eiffel Tower here. It goes about 3/4 of the way up, and it appears, even from this distance, full of buildings built into the actual struts. But not brick, not work, anything like that. If anything, it looks like a vertical shanty town. The rest of you will know it as Eiffel's Folly. It is about 3/4, like I said, 3/4 of the size, and it appears, even from this distance, to have a bustling community living in it, like in the actual tower.
Are there flying machines around?
Yes.
Right.
There are plenty of, like, gyropters and airships and so on going through the air.
See, we should have taken a gyrocopter. Look at them. Like, if we got there, we could have landed on that, like, pointy thing in the middle, and then... They'd have been well friendly, I'm sure. I bet they speak the kind of French I can understand.
Seven dead, Sasha. Like, just a crash yesterday. Let's...
I know statistics.
Do you?
Yes. No.
The larger airships are much safer than the small ones. It's much better to get one of the major intercity routes in the large Zeppelins. The gyrocopter is still a... experimental system. They haven't worked out all the kinks yet.
So yeah, with the gyropters, they're certainly faddish. They've only really come in the last couple of years, and anyone who has any money has been buying one, and the number of accidents has been huge.
I just want to appraise those mechanisms. I just want to, like, line up all the cogs, look at them, like how one cog is different from another, see if there's, like, ooh, something slightly different on that one, maybe it's a collector's cog, and get totally, like, she would collect cogs.
So what the rest of the party will be aware of, because it's common knowledge, is the reason it was called Eiffel's Folly is it was originally built as a monument, and then he was found to be embezzling enormous amounts of funds, and the entire construction of it was a bit of a nightmare, and so it stopped. However, as Paris continued to grow and develop, and because they're trying so hard to be, like, the pinnacle of money and power and influence, obviously all of the poor slowly get squeezed into small and small areas. Long story short, they began squatting in the Eiffel Tower, till eventually it became its own vertical shanty town.
Was there a loophole where they weren't allowed to congregate on the ground, so they ended up going higher and higher?
There was now! So, yeah, you end up with what's mostly the Eiffel Tower, but it's chock full. It's an eyesore of Paris, because all the rest of it is gleaming, it's shining, it's everything that London wishes it could be. Apart from this one sort of eyesore, which
is a single ugly reminder of poor people.
There's only that many poor people in Paris. They put them all in one tower. That's it. No other poor people.
Also looking.
I wonder if they sell, like, sky eels there, like, and if they taste different, sort of cloudy.
Sky eels.
She means pigeons.
I've heard about sky eels.
Moving on through the rest of the vista, you notice what the rest of you will know as Arc de l'Ordinateur. Basically, it's Arc du Triomphe, but it was built as a monument to the greatest technological marvel that people have ever achieved. And it's the formal entrance to anyone who's seeking to use the Ordinateurs is at the Arc du Triomphe, or as I was saying, the Arc de l'Ordinateur. And finally, there is the Louvre, which is... Even from this distance, you can still see a lot of the buildings. There is a good 60-foot statue of all of the meritocrats together. It's considered a wonder of the world for people to come see. The detailing of it is meant to be the greatest masters worked on it as a sign of thanks for all of the work that the meritocrats did. And it's a big tourist attraction, but it's visible even from here because it towers over the buildings that surround it in that main square. And again, the rest of Paris, you have lots of clear straight roads, lots of traffic, even as you're coming in via a viaduct. Really busy, busy as London, but there's huge amounts of technology, there's huge amounts of magical creatures moving around, multiple races. It's an order of magnitude more impressive than anything that you've got in Britain, really.
Right, well.
I thought London was pretty good after other London, but it's nice to know there's other good cities.
Yeah, well, this one wasn't washed away.
There's a lot of impressive cities in the world. You should see Prague and Cairo, which both of which we're going to.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
Doing a bit of a whistle-stop tour, aren't we?
Yes, I mean, there's going to be the detour to Svalbard, which may not be quite so impressive. Although, there will be a lot of snow. Well, probably haven't seen a lot of snow before.
A lot more sea. We'll probably have to get an airship. They don't.
So they'll be an airship through a storm.
Oh, hopefully not.
That sounds amazing. No.
At which point you pull into the station.
We best find ourselves a hotel. I suggest we don't find the most expensive one in Paris, like we did in Dover or Calais.
Should we maybe?
At the record show.
Bertie looks
James
so
did
sad.
Bertie's face, and Bertie's face looks like agony.
The second best? No.
Keep going. Everyone, give me a perception check.
There are rolls in this game, though. 20, not natural.
16 minus 1 is 15.
19.
10.
Clearly, 11.
Oh, 11. Clearly, Hamid, it's been a while since he's been in such a bustling cultural hub.
Just distracted by all the memory.
Ah, this weekend.
The rest of you notice, as you're heading out across the platform discussing things and heading out towards the main entrances and so on, there is obviously large amounts of these mechanical men walking around. One of them is stood holding a sign, a lot of filigree on it, which says, Sasha Racket. If you look at that mechanical man compared to the rest, he's stunning, like perfectly made, very clean lines and so on, clearly like a premium model. It's the equivalent of a Corvette compared to some old banger in the kind of style that we're talking, very, very sleek. And he's there holding it, holding a sign that says Sasha Racket.
Look, young lady, that robot's got the same name as you. What a coincidence.
Have you never been to a station?
Oh, for goodness sake. That's going to be dangerous.
What? Oh!
Yeah, big shiny robot, Sasha's name.
It doesn't appear to be reacting to the fact that Sasha's there.
Raise a lot of questions. You should probably be on guard. Sasha, if you want to lead this one on, we'll be here. Got your back.
I'd rather not. I think someone else
should be...
Yeah,
but it's seen you. But it's not... It's got your name.
Someone else should maybe go and... You could pretend to be me, Hamid.
I'll do it. I'm a master of disguise.
I don't think that's a very good idea. I'll go and talk to the robot.
For reference for all of the party, apart from Sasha, who will have run into these before, they are not capable of speech. The best that they can do is deliver messages and take orders, but they would not be able to explain themselves.
Sorry, does Bertie know that?
Yeah, you'll have run into... Like, you're aware of them. I mean, a couple of the really high-up lords in Britain will have had one as a sort of show of wealth or whatever. But they can't speak. They can only do chores, like take orders or deliver messages. So if someone gave it a message to hand over, but that's the best you'll get.
Well, we should go and see what it wants, at least.
Yeah.
I go up and reach the robot in French. Assume it's a French robot.
It looks down impassively at you.
I think you need to talk to Sasha.
It seems likely.
You should probably just get a message from
him. I'm hiding somehow behind all of the rest of you and quiet.
I'm amazing.
Yes.
All right. Given our relative heights. Behind Bertie.
Do you want to just ignore this and walk on?
She somehow manages to hide from Zolf and Hamid, despite the fact that they might be standing on either side of her. Mm-hmm.
All right. Sasha, wait. Okay. Tap me on the shoulder if you want to just leave this and ignore it.
I mean, it might be from... It might be from...
Goodness, there you are. Don't sneak up on me like that.
Yeah, somehow got sort of blended into the filigree on one of the pillars.
you just adopted a position like a falcon.
Yeah. Beat me to that one.
Yeah. It might be about Brock, though.
Well, it's up to you.
It seems quite likely.
Well, of course, he'll have been listening the whole time. Like, okay, I asked the robot in English. All right, so what's up? Mr. Robot,
it looks...
how are you? can they talk?
No.
What's
but it should
your
recognize you.
It looks down at Sasha for a moment,
what
tilts its
hats?
Head, and then it takes the sign that says Sasha Racket, folds it, puts it in a sort of chest compartment, and pulls out a single small card.
Okay.
It says, you are cordially invited to La Triomphe.
The Triumph. Right.
Is that the ordinateur?
Does anyone have a knowledge local apart from Sasha? Because Sasha would need to take some time.
I've got knowledge history.
Knowledge history would work, actually.
I have knowledge history as well.
Both of you give me knowledge history.
Natural 20.
Oh, okay. Well, just later.
I'll say that Bertie knows this because
really
it makes sense.
Like, you had an ex-boyfriend that was well into Paris. Yep. Like, they just kept whispering sweet somethings about Paris.
You didn't know what it was.
Whispering sweet facts.
No, I didn't know that.
Did you know Bourbon monarchy is a bit lower?
So what you know of La Triomphe is it is the most expensive hotel in Paris. In fact, it is at the sort of square surrounding the Arc de l'Ordinateur, and it is an extremely old institution, and it was one of the first things that the meritocrats were reforming was it was things like if there were brothels or anything, seed or anything like that, is they were like, no, we're not having this in the city. And that was one which started as a sort of a bawdy house and then has transformed over the course of the centuries now into the premier establishment. Diplomats will stay here, ambassadors will stay there, and certainly it will make anything that you stay at up to now a pale imitation.
So for me it's an old hotel.
For you there's an old hotel which is in the centre of Paris. For you there's an entire mystique attached to it. There's many
this is how your ex-boyfriend used to kind of pass the evenings was just whispering about luxury.
Yes, it's the foreplay, telling about expensive hotels.
it's the bills come, are written on velvet silk and tied around waiters' necks in neckties, and they nuzzle you so that you can read it and sign on the bottom with a golden quill.
Just still attached to the swan.
Yeah, it's a name that people have dropped in conversation previously just to show off.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we should go here. I think we should definitely go here. We should definitely take up that invitation. That sounds great. Sasha, votes in favour. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, good.
No, you count too. Sasha has hidden behind a pillar again. She's gone.
Sasha, it's a hotel.
Oh, right. It's not like the Wynn. Like, it's one. Okay. Like, I poke out from behind a hotel. I'm behind you, actually, Zom. Yeah. I'm behind Zom. all right. So
not just a hotel. The hotel. It is the hotel.
La hotel.
Oh, the one I said we shouldn't go to. I suppose if we've been invited, I'm just a bit worried that the expenses on this trip are spiralling, but with an invitation, I'm sure it'll be fine.
It should be.
Sasha begins to lead the way in a direction that somehow, despite not knowing the geography of Paris, is the exact opposite away from the thing. All right, we're going this way.
The mechanical man reaches out and puts his hand on your shoulder, non-threatening at all, and just gently gestures for you to head towards a carriage. He leads you out.
Ooh, and arranged transportation too.
This is getting more and more sinister.
He opens a carriage door. The carriage is again sleek, incredibly expensive.
This isn't sinister. This is very charming and welcoming.
It's utterly automated.
Fantastic.
Why would anyone spend this kind of money if they didn't have bad intentions?
Basically that.
He
just spent
on
money.
Sasha.
I bought her.
You're part of that world. She's not.
Why would they do this?
This is sinister, beyond God.
They're obviously going to eat me.
They nonetheless, the mechanical man gestures.
Wrong. I look at Bertie and try to
not
consider
all,
my...
Yeah, Bertie doesn't get the irony of that at all. Not all rich people at all. I mean, I know many.
Right, okay. We'll stay
alert.
Can I do a sneak roll for inside the carriage? Because I say I don't want to be there.
I'm going to give you a natural 20. Okay. Because I feel like when the stakes are that high, you'd pull it out.
Yeah, I'd just vanish. Still there, you just can't see me. It's like in Skyrim, I've crouched.
Yeah, she's gone. There are
loads of baskets over our heads.
We'll say the carriage moves off. It is silent, the suspension's perfect. It's like you're sitting on a cloud. And going through Paris, it takes a sort of scenic route. Everyone's moving out of the way. The roads are very clearly for vehicles. The pavements are very clearly for people. It's far more clean and efficient. And it moves through. It takes a slightly scenic route down many boulevards and things like that.
This will have been the longest that any of you have gone without hearing obnoxiously naive questions in days.
I will be sitting in broody, concerned silence.
It leads to the square where the Arc de l'Ordinateur is.
Champs-Élysées.
Yes. And then it pulls in outside of an extremely large, very old-build hotel. There is a human footman at the door The carriage is opened at a red carpet leading up the steps into the main entrance.
Ah, they knew I was coming.
I've, in the carriage, I've obviously prestidigitated myself to look absolutely immaculate and dressed myself in proper evening attire. Sure. So I'm now wearing quite a fancy tuxedo.
You've sure. got all the magic items you'll ever need, don't you?
Sleeves have changed my outfit instantly. Like, yeah. they're just... I remember reading them on the PFSRD and just like, yes! Want tip. Top of shopping list.
Sasha has rearranged all of her daggers.
So, naturally...
I'll offer to do anyone's hairstyle if anyone feels the need for it.
Winded up her spring-loaded wrist sheaths.
So naturally, everyone else... Bertie, the gilding's helping, but nonetheless you are in armour. The only one who looks vaguely in the right place right now is Hamid.
I'm battle ready.
Presumably you're heading up and in.
I'll wait for either the posh people or Sasha to go first.
So they open the door. The footman gives a bit of a look at everyone else. But nonetheless opens the door.
I thank him.
Bertie tips him.
I add an invitation.
The gentleman at the desk says, may I take the name, please? Naturally, he's speaking in French. The only time you're going to be hearing big accents is if Bertie's desperately trying to figure out how the continent works.
Hamid. Is that the same as him saying, like, what are you called then, mister?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Right, okay. Name. Okay, name. Gotta learn proper French. Sasha Rackett.
His eyes widen. His manner completely changes. He stands up very, very straight. He immediately ushers about six helpers in and he goes, madam, I am so, so very glad that you are here. We have prepared everything for you exactly as we've been understood to lead it. I was also instructed to pass on this message to you. And let us say again that we have never been so so honoured. And thank you very, very much.
I am 1,000% more worried.
I turn to Zolf and go, okay, now I'm suspicious.
Bertie doesn't understand anything that's going on. He just understands there's a lot of faff and fuss being made of somebody near him. So he assumes that the hotel staff have assumed that Sasha is in some way part of his domestic entourage and they're making a fuss of her as a way of honouring him by proxy.
I should turn, look at you very seriously. Are you part of ex-Russian aristocracy?
I don't know!
Okay.
You're currently holding an envelope.
Okay. I look at all of you and it doesn't occur to... Right. Okay. I take out a dagger and slice the envelope open.
There is another filigree card, much like the message that was handed to you by the automatic man. It just says, Dear Sasha, I thought you'd like this. There is then a small piece of paper in there and it's signed Brock. It's a typed letter, not written.
Sasha hands it over to Zolf because she cannot speak.
Yeah. That's...
Do you open the attached paper?
Right. No, don't open the attachment. It's not a recognized source. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I open the bit of paper.
It takes a moment as you're reading through it. It appears it's a receipt. Someone has held the presidential suite of La Triomphe for Sasha Rackett in perpetuity. The bill has been paid. It is a figure that the zeros carry on as the receipt is made extra long for it. The amount of money paid for it is the most insanely huge figure. Even Hamid, by your standards, you're in the thing where you know the amount of security that will be required to even make this kind of a transfer. It's a huge amount
Hamid
of money.
Hamid looks absolutely stunned.
So looks like Brock's doing well for himself.
Well, he can't have been, though. He would have come back for me.
Bertie is speechless. Extrude the fornicating bed.
And I think we'll close that. So, I thought that might catch you all a bit unawares.
It did catch us unawares.
Oh, intrigue. Yeah.
And finally we're in Paris. Well, another good episode. No one drowned. In fact,
next week.
Yeah. Out of all of the episodes, that's probably had the least dice rolls out of any episode we've ever done.
It's a big talky one.
Well, I think we'll close there, like I said, and we hope everyone tunes in next week for yet more exciting adventures.
I bet that the presidential suite is full of water. Yeah. Probably how it's going to
turn
out.
No, it's just full of presidents.
Bye, guys.
Bed made out of presidents. You pull a moustache and the light goes on over there. That's pretty good.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
The entire station at the front.
What? Like she would collect cogs, trade cogs.
Play a little game with cogs where you put them in piles and then you try and flip cogs with other cogs.
Yeah, and then you trade cogs in a sort of like top
in like packs of Doritos. But you get them for free and they have a bit of plastic wrapping around them.
I feel that there would be more to it than
I feel like if this conversation carries on, you're going to be able to narrow down the year that this campaign's based in. There's going to be a 90 in there somewhere.
Well, actually, a cog shape will make like it's a bit like pogs, it's a bit like Hero Clicks.
So I don't know.
Okay.
You're currently holding an envelope.
My hands are trembling, so it's making a kind of quivery noise. Thrums.
It's a huge envelope made out of shreds.
That might be too much.
That's how much our hands were quivering.
We're trying to give Alex as little work as possible while there are goblins infesting Rusty Towers.